The following is paid for by the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Information on the program is intended to solely further the public's general knowledge about the product. Opinions expressed should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience. News Radio KDKA does not guarantee the accuracy of any of the information aired on the following program.
You are listening to Tech Vibe Radio. It's coming at you from the Huntington Bank Studios. Tech Vibe Radio is your front row seat to Pittsburgh's fast-moving technology ecosystem. Tech Vibe is brought to you by the generous support of Blink at 321blink.com, Chorus Call at choruscall.com, Compunetics at compunetics.com, Huntington Bank at huntington.com, My Benefit Advisor at ptc.mybenefitadvisor.com, and PNC Bank at pnc.com. Here are your hosts, the Pittsburgh Technology Council's Audrey Russo and Jonathan Kirsting. Good morning, everyone. This is Jonathan Kirsting with the Pittsburgh Technology Council, bringing you Tech Vibe Radio this Sunday morning. Anyone who's listened to this show over the years and years and years we've been doing it, we do a lot when it comes to all things autonomous. Most of our focus has been on things like autonomous cars and vehicles and trucks. But have you ever thought about, like, autonomous aircraft? I mean, talk about taking something cool and just adding a whole other level to it, I think is pretty insane. And that's exactly what near-Earth autonomy is doing. And today, we are talking to Sanjeev Singh. He's one of the founders of near-Earth. And Sanjeev, I'm really excited to talk to you today because I really think you are one of the coolest companies in Pittsburgh. The stuff that you guys do, you make it look easy, and it is not easy, that is for sure. And if you're following along, you got to check out their website because their website's got some great, great information and some great demos of how their technology works. Go to nearearth.aero and you can learn all about it. So, Sanjeev, thanks for hanging out with me today. So much fun. I can't wait to just dive in and just learn about all the new stuff you guys are up to. But first and foremost, let's just start with you, man. Like, who is Sanjeev? Why did you start this company, for crying out loud?
So, let's see. Depends on how far you want to go back. First of all, thanks for having me. This is a great time to be talking as we look forward to another sort of era of the kind of work we do. So about my background, I came to Pittsburgh to work at Carnegie Mellon as a research engineer in 1985. I worked on the very first self-driving cars, just getting them going. They arrived as a shell, and then, a year later, they were moving at walking speed, and then, like a decade later, they were moving at, running speed, a little bit faster than running speed.
Wow, you've been there since the beginning when it comes to all things autonomy. It's that 40-year overnight success story.
That's right. That's exactly right. So I saw that happen, and then, I got a chance, somewhat by accident, circumstance, that there was an opportunity to take the technology we do and move it onto aircraft. Before aircraft could carry, these small aircraft could carry the computing and the sensors we put on ground vehicles.
Talking things like helicopters and drones and things like that?
Very first drones, we're talking about something that could lift about a pound.
A pound, ooh.
Right.
Very sophisticated.
And then a small helicopter, there's like an 8-foot helicopter that could carry about 30 pounds.
So
we started trying to put some of the sensors that we had on ground vehicles and some of the computing and the positioning systems we had, just to see how hard it was and what the problems were. And it's a fascinating area. And the very few people working on this sort of bleeding edge. This is now in the early 2000s, starting with some DARPA programs, which were like, okay, can you have an aircraft fly really low? And we say really low, maybe like 20 feet off the ground.
That's pretty low.
So it's going to fly in between trees, wires, and buildings. What's the technology that we're going to use? So it turns out that, many of the methods we had developed for the self-driving cars are completely relevant. And of course, there's differences because it's not just left or right. You could go above.
You got other directions in which you can move at that point. Yeah. So extra sensors needed.
Sensors are different methods needed.
Right.
The systems on board have to be very cognizant of what the vehicle is able to do. So it can go down much quicker than it can go up.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
And
so
all of this kind of adaptation we had to do for the 3D world, we got going on in the early 2000s, and then, you know, one thing led to another, and we found out that we'd just flown the first helicopter, full-scale helicopter, autonomously.
Wait, back up. That's so cool. So you were literally like on the team to make the first helicopter fly autonomously.
Right.
That's
we cool. led that.
I'm sorry,
led
that's that. Awesome, dude. I'm going to come out and say it like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it was as simple as there was an Army project to demonstrate mock casualty evacuation. Mm-hmm. The idea is that there's a wounded person at a location that you know a rough GPS location for, and the helicopter has to fly there, look for hazards, and land as close as possible to the wounded person such that then they could put somebody else,
right.
they could put the casualty on board and
okay.
To fly back.
Right
now what happens is, even today, when somebody is wounded and they need medical assistance desperately, the problem is that you put four or five other people's lives at risk
to
go get that person.
Exactly.
So the idea was an autonomous helicopter might be able to solve this kind of problem because, so that was the idea. That was the motivation, the very start one. And we took a chance. We did something that we didn't know we couldn't do.
That's so cool. You're like, hey, this kind of works. Like, maybe there's a company around this or something.
Well, no,
like that.
It still wasn't that.
Okay.
I mean, it was like there was a proof of concept there. And, you know, there was a lot of other interesting stuff going on. Right after that was done, that finished in July of 2010. There was a DARPA program to develop a real flying car, okay? Like a Humvee that could drive and then it could fly, okay?
Oh, wow.
That was the concept that DARPA was looking for. And so we proposed that we could develop the autonomy for this whole program. And so we went at it and we demonstrated a simulator that showed how somebody could both drive and then switch into flying mode, sort of like really like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. That was actually one of the funnest projects I've ever worked on.
I've got to say, you get to have way too much fun doing what you're
doing.
That
one was exactly that. And right as that program was ending, Office of Naval Research had a very large program to demonstrate resupply in places like Afghanistan where travel by road is very torturous. It's very dangerous.
Right.
It
the
takes a long time, but
can
you know,
fly it in there without someone
in minutes.
Their life at risk in
minutes. You can fly in minutes versus hours. So this was kind of the motivation for this very large 5-year program. So we tried to do it at Carnegie Mellon. At that time, still the group was there, and it looked like it was just the wrong kind of program for CMU.
Okay. Yeah.
So you know, too much liability required accepting some terms that the university doesn't like to. Except, so what we did was we started a company. We
That's
wrote a proposal.
Okay,
and we said, okay, well, if we win the proposal, we'll really have to go now.
Oh my goodness!
That's how it literally how it.
And
started.
How long ago was that?
That was 2011. We started the company in 2012.
Amazing! So you guys are 10 years old.
We're 10 years old, almost 10. This year,
oh my goodness!
Will be,
I would think you're like 4 or 5 out of the gate, but no, 10 years. That's amazing. Yeah. And you're in the East End, and you've got, like, what, 80 people, you said?
That's right. That's right.
And
hiring.
Which is just amazing. And like I said, I told you before, like, I ride my bike past your offices all the time. And I'm always just – my mind's blown away because I know what you're working on in there. I'm like, man, you guys are solving some really tough problems.
Yeah, so if anybody's listening and they're working on self-driving cars and they're tired of being – landlubbers, and
exactly.
they want to get into the third dimension, well, they should come talk to us.
You need a t-shirt, work near Earth, get in the third dimension or something.
Something like that. Yes, that should be our slogan. Get in the third dimension.
That
I like
is
it.
So cool. That's why I love doing the show, is getting to tell these stories like this, because this is happening here in Pittsburgh, where you are literally doing something that I call it almost like a miracle. Like, these are the types of things that are like, whoa, you can pull this thing off. People would say it would be a miracle as far as that is. But Sanjay, we're taking a quick break, but we're coming back. We're talking more about some of the current project you're working on, an investment round you guys just received, and the fact that you're growing. It's just an amazing Pittsburgh story. And just the fact that, like, yeah, we're the first folks to, you know, make a helicopter fly autonomously. That's pretty cool stuff. Everyone, this is Jonathan Kirsten with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. And you got to go to nearearth.aero to check out Near Earth Autonomy. We're hanging out with Sanjay Singh, having way too much fun for a Sunday morning, that's for sure. I'll be right back after this quick break. Oh, and I almost forgot. Go to pghtech.org. That's our Tech Council website. See you in a minute. Chorus Call is a worldwide, Pittsburgh-based provider of custom audio conferencing, video conferencing, webcasting, and event management services for business,
government, and nonprofit organizations. Chorus Call frequently accepts applications for customer care and engineering positions in its Monroeville office. If you're interested in a new career opportunity, please visit choruscall.com for more information about the company and current job openings. The Pittsburgh Technology Council has been helping our region's tech companies succeed since 1983. The Pittsburgh Technology Council helps its members meet new customers, hire top talent, make headlines, and have a strong voice in government. From startup to multinational, the PTC helps tech companies and advanced manufacturers of all sizes. See how we can help your venture grow at pghtech.org. That's pghtech.org. All of the cool kids are listening to Tech 5 Radio, and so are you. Tech 5 Radio is coming at you from the Huntington Bank Studios and is made possible by the generous support of our sponsors, Blink, Chorus Call, Compunetics, Huntington Bank, My Benefit Advisor, and PNC Bank. Here are your hosts, the Pittsburgh Technology Council's Audrey Russo and Jonathan Kirsting. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for hanging out with us here on Tech Vibe Radio this Sunday morning. I'm your host, Jonathan Kirsting from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. I'm sorry, I need more time in this show, Sanjeev. We're having way too much fun talking to Sanjeev Singh from Near Earth Autonomy. Go to nearearth.aero. And oh my gosh, we kind of just given the history of how, you know, the 40-year history of how what it takes to start making, you know, aircraft autonomous. And I cannot wait to talk about some of the current projects you're working on now and just the different use cases for autonomous aircraft. Sanjeev, so let's start off. During the break, we were quickly mentioning the fact that, like, there's an application to potentially help firefighters, fighting forest fires with actually, you know, autonomous helicopters being able to drop the water and fight fires. This sounds too cool. I'm sorry. Way too much fun.
So this is a great project. You know, it connects sort of this base technology we've been developing.
Yeah.
You know, we've been saying there's military uses and resupply and there are logistics use cases for all sorts of commercial companies that need to move things from A to B, you know. So there's just like a large number of uses. But recently we've been germinating a concept where we could take some old surplus helicopters that have plenty of life left into them and turn them into firefighting machines, okay? And the big deal here is that you want something that's reliable, okay? You have, like, a know-how how to fix these things, and it's not just going to be a machine that a few people can take care of. There are, for example, something like 4,000 Blackhawks in the world
today. It's got a base then. It's got a base of expertise and mechanics and parts and all that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah, supply chain issues, all there. There's a lot of people know how to fly them and to take care of them. And these helicopters are now going to be end of life pretty soon, meaning there's a whole new generation of helicopters coming. So we expect a number of surplus helicopters that will be available. And so there's interest from the commercial world and from the military world to take these helicopters, these low-cost helicopters, and turn them into flying machines, autonomous machines, such that they can do logistics.
Carry large loads of water, right?
They can carry large loads of water and deliver them precisely to where they're needed. So the idea here is, in general, firefighters fight during the day. And actually, during the night, the fires settle a little bit because the winds don't blow that much.
Perfect opportunity to fly something in there very safely because you're not
correct
human
correct.
Life they're trying to navigate in the dark.
Correct.
Right?
So you're also very few aircraft in the airspace. There are some logistics issues, as you can imagine.
No fire is the
same, and you know you're right in the middle of having to work with people who are very intent on keeping these things down, making sure no further harm comes of, you don't complicate the situation any further. So it's not an easy environment to work with, but the idea is that if you could deliver a sufficient amount of retardant precisely where
it needs to go
during the night, then you could keep these fires down. And you know from reading the press that this is a big problem.
It seems like it's just wildfires like all the time, and it's crazy. And the idea that Pittsburgh company can help solve this to me is such a neat story. So when do you start work on this thing?
Right. So we're, you know, trying to set up all of all the technical elements, the funding, the government policy, all of that all at once, right? I mean, the couple of things are happening is that we have the technology, okay? So that's important to be able to fly helicopters of that size. You know, 5 years ago, we already flew a similar kind of a helicopter in difficult kinds of situations.
Okay.
We showed that in 2017. So that's an important part. That's the technical part. Now it's a question of getting money and then policy to be able to, you know, develop these things specifically for firefighting, because it's, you know, it's even more difficult than where we've tested it before. There's you expect smoke.
Wind currents are different and pretty ferocious because of the heat and everything.
Exactly.
Like that. There's so
exactly.
much more to account for. I'm going to call it 4D at this point.
Right. So yeah, it's a tough problem, but you know, it's one that I think we're up for, because
no, you guys are up for it. You kidding me, man? You guys are going to kill this thing, man.
Well, it's you know, look, I'm being practical in terms of how to bring this thing together and how many challenges there are, but I think, you know, it's our opportunity to work on something of national strategic importance.
Love that. Without a doubt. I can't wait to see a bunch of Blackhawks park in your parking lot somewhere and you guys are like putting parts on.
I'm having trouble finding parking in our parking lot, so I hope the Blackhawks are not taking up space there.
You can park underneath them a little bit if
yeah,
you need to.
That's right.
Just so exciting to me that these are the types of projects that you're working on. I mean, no wonder why you're in like massive hiring mode, which is crazy. And I'm sure the skill sets that you need have to be so intense and so specialized. So to find that talent, bring it to Pittsburgh, keep it in Pittsburgh. That's an important thing for us here.
That's right. That's right.
We want as many smart people in the world coming here to live, work, and have some fun working for Near Earth, man. Simple as that.
I love it. Yes, that's right. So, you know, I've been living in Squirrel Hill for since 1985, and I've just seen the East End just explode.
Oh, okay. My goodness. You have seen literally the trajectory of technology in Pittsburgh since 85. Yeah. The Tech Council's been around since 84, you know, and so you've really seen, and you've been part of that. That's got to be so exciting.
It's very exciting.
You need to write
exciting.
A book one day about
oh, thank
how,
you. I'll think
no,
about
I'm
that.
Serious because, I mean, you have literally been at the very beginning of the autonomy sector and then seeing this thing grow and how Pittsburgh has played such a big role with Carnegie Mellon and so forth. You got a book in you.
Let me know if you have a catchy title for my book. You already gave me a hiring slogan. You know, come work for Near Earth. Get into the third dimension.
Exactly.
Okay, I like it. If you have any ideas, let me know.
I will tinker on them, and I'll get back to you, because I do think there's a story there. One story that we got a few months ago was the fact that you guys received a nice funding round, which was very exciting, like $10 million. Like, that does a lot to keep the doors open and keep the innovation happening. How exciting was that to start bringing in some outside investment like that?
Yeah, it's great, you know, and to put it in context, the first 5 years we were still sort of exploring the art of the possible. So almost nobody working in this area. So we were really on the bleeding edge. We had well-funded and we did that. And then the next 5 years, which was about really actually making these things practical, making the technology practical, finding some common core such that we could do small changes and look at different use cases. And this, we are now in a third kind of an epoch, so to speak, which is about commercialization.
Definitely. Okay? Get this to market. So start charging people for it.
You might have heard this common expression called the valley of death, where you know, it's that lull in between proof of concept and full product.
Exactly.
And it's commonly known that, especially if you have hardware components that you're using, that valley of death is particularly hard to cross.
It's long and hot to get across that.
That's right. So investment really helps there, because nobody really wants to pay for it. They've proved out the concept and the people ready to buy the product. That middle ground that can take some time and is, you know, can have some missteps, et cetera, that you really get through investment. So we've tried find the right kind of partners, and we found a few. We're actually still raising, but that was the first major strategic thing we signed here to get this.
We saw that announcement. And it just validates what you're doing, obviously. People just don't go handing out money just for fun. They see the potential and they see the value of what you're putting together. So I think you need two books you could be writing.
Okay.
Crossing that valley of death. You're going to be very busy, man. So you might need to hire some more people to get those Blackhawks outfitted to start fighting fires, as far as that is. Such a cool story. Like I said, I just get so excited because, like I said, I ride my bike past your place all the time. I live in the East End, and there's so many companies, you know, like yours that are just pushing the envelope. But I think Near Earth, like I said, you're doing that in all three dimensions when it comes to autonomy.
Yeah, that that whole section there, you probably watched that.
The Rockwell really Park blossing. Is popping up, it's just, and it's just everything's gotten crazy cool over there.
When we moved over there, it was still, you know, on the edge of the hood.
I remember them actually retrofitting your building. I remember that before it was your space, it was kind of like, what's going on there? But now
the
I know
the roof had fallen in. Yeah,
I think the roof had fallen in, exactly. Right. But it goes to show you how companies like yours are what's rebuilding Pittsburgh and taking it to the next level, doing things like making helicopters fly by themselves. So, Sandeep, I can't thank you enough for hanging out with me today. I need another 20 minutes to tell more stories about what you guys are up to. But I think our listeners got a little taste.
Okay, hopefully anybody who's interested can reach out. We'd love to talk.
That's why I tell everyone, go to nearearth.aero.
Aero spelled A-E-R-O.
Exactly like right, aerospace. A-E-R-O, which I think is a cool dot thing going on. Yeah. I have not seen that before. So check them out. Go to pghtech.org and check out the Tech Council. We've got awesome members like Near Earth Autonomy that have making us tick since 1984, a year before you started here, Tanji. The Tech Council is 1 year on you, simple as that. So much fun. Once again, this has been Jonathan Kirsting from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Have yourself an awesome Sunday afternoon, everybody. Compunetics is the leading developer of unified voice, video, and data collaboration and conferencing applications for the service provider, government, and unique workflow applications. The Summit Olympus and Evergreen platforms, driven by their encrypted user interfaces, enable powerful and secure collaboration. Combined with world-class support and innovative professional services, Compunetics delivers the right solution every time. Learn more at compunetics.com. Tech 5 Radio is coming at you from the Huntington Bank Studios and is made possible by the generous support of our sponsors, Blink, Chorus Call, Compunetics, Huntington Bank, my benefit advisor, PNC Bank.
The preceding was paid for by the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Information on the program was intended to solely further the public's general knowledge about the product. Opinions expressed should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience. News Radio KDKA does not guarantee the accuracy of any of the information heard on the preceding program.